Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Happy Thursday, Right Here in Mass listeners. Joining us today is Nina Lee Mendoza, founder of 2+2 Tutoring based in Taunton, Massachusetts. Holding previous positions as a teacher and a school-age director for a local YMCA, Nina started 2+2 Tutoring in July 2022 after noticing a lack of availability for tutors in the area and identifying this as a good side gig while having the opportunity to flex her love of teaching. Now, Nina runs 2+2 Tutoring full-time and has expanded the company to have a local tutoring center and additional tutors on staff. I'm especially excited to have Nina as today's guest because she's been my best friend for at least the last 10 years. And so it's my honor to have her here on the show. And so Nina, welcome to Right Here in Mass. And please share with our listeners about you and what you do.
Hi. We've been friends for 11 years, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, so a year longer.
11 years. Yeah, I'm Nina. My name recently changed, so even hearing Ashley say Nina Lee Mendoza is a little bit funny. I just got married this past summer. Ashley kind of summed it up really well. I taught in Fall River Public Schools for 3 years, and that was really the start of my career. While I was there, I was lucky enough to work with UMass Dartmouth to go to a master's program, and I earned my Master's of Arts in Teaching, and I studied in STEM concentration for middle school mathematics. I also worked briefly as an out-of-school time or school-age director at the local YMCA. That part of my career I don't talk about a lot, but it's actually served my tutoring business a lot recently, as a lot of families that I know from the Y have been reaching out because they're local. So it's been really great to see that. So now I work full-time. I have a crazy schedule, but I make it work. I basically am, whenever kids are in school is my off time, and then when kids are out of school, that's my on time. So I am located in Taunton in Massachusetts along the South Shore. Most of my clients that I tutor are from Taunton, Rainham, Berkeley, Middleborough, kind of the surrounding towns. And I do have some very loyal clients who drive from New Bedford, Westport, Fairhaven, and I love them even more for that. So yeah, I've been in my tutoring center for about 2 months of a soft launch. And then last Thursday, the Taunton Area Chamber of Commerce hosted, in collaboration with me, a ribbon cutting ceremony, which was amazing. I got a lot of exposure from that. And since then, I've basically been answering the phone nonstop and answering emails nonstop, which was really exciting. And they prepped me for that. So I've been very busy lately. Ashley's also been all up in my business lately because she's been writing blog posts for me, and now she's interviewing me, and we have like literally next weekend, we're spending the whole weekend together. So we have a lot of fun stuff going on.
Yes, it's the marketer in me. I can't help it. But before I get into all the amazing things that you've done with 2+2 Tutoring, I want to back up and talk more about teaching, because as you mentioned, you were a teacher in the Fall River public school system for 3 years. And so I would love for you to share with our listeners what inspired you to get into teaching in the first place.
Sure. Of course, with an emotional question right away, Ashley. But my mother was a Title I reading specialist in the Taunton Public Schools. She worked for just under 9 years at Hopewell Elementary School. I was lucky enough where every day after school, starting in about the fifth grade, I would take the bus to her school. And I would spend about an hour and a half there every day. Monday through Friday. And at first I started off by just doing my homework, sitting quietly in the back of the room while she taught. That eventually led into me taking a small group of kids. Then that eventually led into me every single day having a reading group scheduled with a small group of kids. And this is when I was like 12. So I right away got into it. When I was younger, of course, I just thought the kids were so cute and it was so fun to play with them. And then as I got older, I had multiple volunteer opportunities through my mom teaching in Taunton Public Schools. And then I went to Coyle and Cassidy High School, where part of your community service opportunities are in a school. And I was lucky enough to volunteer an hour a day, every day at that school again. So I had a lot of experience there. Now, unfortunately, my mom passed away when I was 16. But fortunately for me, all of her friends from teaching will not let me go. I still get calls, texts, emails from them all the time. How am I doing? Can they tutor with me? Can they bring me out to lunch? Can they bring me out to dinner? So I have a really good community in my mom's friends, which I will always appreciate. My older brother is an associate professor at UMass Lowell. And so when I was choosing my college and what I wanted to study, it kind of always felt like natural for me to want to go into education. I just wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And my older brother helped me with that a lot. He helped me apply to a lot of schools and kind of figure out what I wanted to do. During this time, he taught his own freshman seminar course. And so although he wasn't my professor because I didn't choose the school that he worked at, I was pretty close by to him, and he had a lot of advice for a young adult choosing their profession. So I ended up majoring in elementary education, and I was lucky enough because I went to Lesley University in Cambridge to get to do my student teaching in Cambridge Public Schools and Boston Public Schools. Awesome. That was when I kind of learned that I didn't love elementary age as much as I thought I did. As I got older, I realized that I liked the niche of mathematics and kind of the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade area. And so that's how I got my first job in Fall River Public Schools and kind of how I honed in on my niche of education.
Absolutely. And one thing too, is that you also studied political science at Lesley. And so what inspired you to tag that on to your studies, and how has what you learned there influenced or impacted what you've done throughout your education career?
That's a great question. Well, first off, Lesley forces all education majors to take a second major. And so that is a really big step when you're asking, a whole demographic of students, or you're demanding that a whole demographic of students takes on a second major. A lot of people that I studied with, they chose the subject matter that they wanted to teach. So a lot of people double majored with education and history, or education and mathematics, or education and science, or kind of along those routes. I like to go against the grain. So I said to my advisor, what can I do that like literally nobody's done before? And he was like, well, you could try. And that was Professor Frank DeMello. Love that guy. He said, why don't you try political science? You seem like the type of person that would, be an active part of a community. He said, this would be really great for you if you ever wanted to be on a school committee, if you ever wanted to run for any town boards, if that seems like the type of career that you would be interested in. And I really wasn't sure what political science was. And once I started studying and going to the classes, I realized that I did love it. So I learned a lot about immigration status, a lot about the political system in our country and as well as on the other countries. And that kind of bridged the gap for me to get my English as a second language endorsement from the Massachusetts, which is a nationally recognized endorsement. So I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do with that yet. And I hope I answered your question, but I use that a lot in the demographic of people that I work with. Taunton has a lot of English as a second language, or students who do not speak English as their native language, or even parents and families that don't speak English as their native language. And so just to have a little bit of extra knowledge about the country that they came from, or the country and the cultural appropriations that they're used to, has really helped me with tutoring. I see a lot of Portuguese families, Hispanic families, Haitian families, and I studied all of that in my political science degree. So it works out really well.
I love that. And I especially love that you mentioned, which I didn't even think of, but what your professor had mentioned about being able to use what you learn in those courses to support you if you join a school committee or another board on the town, and knowing that you've done a lot of advocacy work within the school committee, or to the school committee, it sounds like it's played you well in that aspect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. And then, so as we've shared, you were a teacher in the Fall River public school system for 3 years, but then eventually you got to the point where you were ready to do something new with your career. So could you talk more about what prompted that realization and what it was like to figure out what you wanted to do next, which ultimately led you to that local YMCA?
Yes, absolutely. So in teaching, you are surrounded by other teachers all day, especially when you have the same lunch as somebody, or you have the same prep as somebody. And the public school that I was working at was a large middle school. There was a lot of kids that went to that school and a lot of teachers that worked in that school. In addition, I was also doing my master's program in a cohort of educators that were from all of the public schools in Fall River. So I had exposure to a lot of tenured teachers. And I'm very social, as you know, Ashley. So I was never the type of person that ate lunch by myself in my room. I would find a classroom, pop in, hey, can I sit with you today? Can I chat with you? I was always the type of student in my master's program that would stay after class, chat with people. Hey, do you want to grab a drink? Do you want to go to eat? Like, let's chat about life, let's chat about education. So through those conversations, I had a lot of really good conversations with some tenured teachers who said, hey, Nina, you're 3 years in. I'm 10, 15, 20. I have a friend who's 30, 40 years in, right? And they said, if you absolutely love what you do, this is amazing. This is the perfect career for you. If you're having any type of ideas of this isn't quite exactly what I was looking for in my career, now's the time to get out. And I say get out because the political system behind teacher contracts and pensions and tenure and how all of that behind the scenes works is, it is very political. It's very tough. Once you are 10 years in, teachers will always say, you're 10 years in, you cannot get out. You have to, you know, you have to stay with that retirement program. You have to stay with your pension. It can get very muddy. And it ends up costing you money to leave your career at that point and start over. And at that point, you know, I'm looking ahead as a young professional and I'm saying, okay, well, maybe I wanted to be married with children at that point. I can't risk starting a career all over again at point zero. So along with the advisement of some tenured professionals in my career, they had advised, if you're not super, super happy with where you are right now, why don't you try something else? And if you want to come back, you can come back and be around at the same salary point that you were. So that was my plan. I took a step back. I had my new master's degree in one hand, and I had my experience working with children in another hand. And I went back to my local YMCA, which I had worked at when I was 16, working with the children in the after school program. At the time, they needed a director for their program, and I said, sure, let's try this. That was on one hand. Simultaneously, I started tutoring, and I said, you know, I actually think I'm going to miss the one-on-one interactions with students, so I started tutoring. I was juggling both of those positions for a while. I would work all day at the Y, 7 to 3, 8 to 4, and then I'd come home, grab a quick bite to eat, go right back out the door again and tutor. I was working 12, 13, 14 hour days sometimes. And I realized that that was not sustainable. And so a lot of my friends, you included, and my now husband said, pick one, get it together, girl. You cannot be doing this. And so at the time, I mean, I really stressed out about this. I mean, every day I would get in the shower and just stand there and think, what am I going to do? And I'm very lucky that my husband was able to support us financially through my little lapse of trying to figure out what to do, that I put in my notice at the YMCA and I started tutoring full time. I still love the Y. I actually just visited there a few weeks ago and brought some extra papers and pencils and folders and binders that I had. And I'm so lucky that I've gotten to see some of those kids recently. And it really warmed my heart that some of my coworkers from the Y actually came to my ribbon cutting last week. So I think in education, it's kind of a universal standard that there's no hard feelings. There's no burned bridges. People move with ebbs and flows through education. And so I've had quite the path to get to where I am, but I'm here now and I'm feeling pretty settled for the first time in a long time.
Oh my gosh. So much powerful stuff here that you shared to unpack, with the first one being that you mentioned that you had some older colleagues really have a candid conversation with you that perhaps people in administration might not have kind of told you about, but had those candid conversations that just kind of gave you the lay of the land ultimately of what you can expect. And then really having that moment with yourself to sit and think about what it is that you want to do next. And I also know, just due to our relationship, that COVID really had an impact on that as well, just facing extreme burnout during those 2-3 years where It was just a lot to handle. And so I think that also gave you a good opportunity too, because with some students who can't necessarily thrive in online learning, they needed that tutoring support. And so it was really a good opportunity for you to step in and help support them in that aspect and still be able to have your love of teaching and just kind of provide them with that supplementary learning and education, because I mean, tutors are in such high demand right now. So I feel like you started 2+2 at like the probably one of the best possible moments, because parents were just desperate to find tutors for their children. And I think that totally played an integral role in just helping your company take off with all the word of mouth referrals and things like that that came from it, in addition to obviously your expertise and passion for what you do.
Right, absolutely. And I think that parents and families that I work with really appreciate that I have classroom experience. If I did not have even just that 3 years of classroom experience, I don't think that they would be as comfortable with me working one-on-one with their children. But you made a good point. So COVID really affected my classroom a lot. I ended up, because I think I was the millennial at the school at the time, I think that I ended up with a fifth grade class of completely remote learners. So I taught completely online for 1 year, and that was tough. And even now, parents and, you know, colleagues ask, how did you do it? And I don't know. I actually have no idea. It almost seems like a blur. And so I taught fifth grade, and I know exactly those skills. I was trying to teach them how to add, subtract, multiply, divide fractions and decimals on a computer. That's just craziness. There's so much I could do. I had 4, 5, 6 computers set up with my phone. I'd walk my phone to the board. I would teach on the board. And I still had students who just, there was too much going on at their house for them to even pay attention to what I was trying to teach them. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot. And so I know that it wasn't just me, and it wasn't just my students that I had on my computer. I had 32 students in my class, and I saw another class of 32. So it's not just those 60 kids. There's children all over the state and all over the nation that did that exact same pace of learning. And now I'm seeing those children as eighth graders and ninth graders here. And I'm saying, hey, I was with you. I didn't necessarily have you as a student, but I was remote teaching while you were trying to remote learn. I know what you're missing. And that's kind of like my niche of, I got you. I know exactly what you're missing. I literally have folders and binders from that year of completely remote teaching that I use now, because that's what the kids missed. Yeah. So yeah, COVID definitely shaped a lot of the success here that I have.
Yes. And also for your professional success, because I know, like, as you mentioned earlier, you're a very social person. You love meeting with people and having conversations. And I know professionally it was hard for you to be alone. Like you said to me and our other best friend, Alex, that you struggled just being by yourself because you kind of thrived on that in-person interaction with your students and with other people. And so that's another thing too, about even though you are your own boss now with 2+2 tutoring, you're still seeing people all the time, whether it's your students or their families or other professionals that you've met and networking opportunities and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. The professional building that I'm in as well has a lot of tenants. We have a couple of chiropractors, lawyers, therapists, and I just can't help it. If I don't have a client or I have 2 minutes of downtime, I'm just standing in the hallway. I can't help it.
I know. It's nice to have that human interaction and just being able to build those relationships and everything. And so of course, there's many things I love about you, but one of the things that I really love is that we also have very similar stories, where when you were working at the Y and starting 2+2 tutoring or running 2+2 tutoring, you had that like weird conflict. You're like, do I go all in on 2+2? Like, what do I do? And for me, it was obviously a similar situation. I mean, granted, I was just babysitting and working at a coffee shop, so nothing like nothing detrimental, but that was a similar situation I was in, where I was like, do I quit these jobs and go all in on Dash of Social, my marketing agency, or what do I do? And I remember having this conversation with you where you were like, I know that you were in this situation before and you had said, It's almost like working at this YMCA is holding me back from getting more clients. I know I could have so many more tutoring clients, but I'm so scared to take that leap because I don't know what could happen. And so I think it's really brave to be in that situation and take that leap and look at how it's paid out. I mean, do you ever think about what life would have been like if you were still juggling those two positions?
I don't know how I could have lasted another week past what I was doing. I mean, I think about the students that I have now, and I can't imagine A, my life without them, but B, when I was getting referrals, I would have, you know, a family say, hey, we need tutoring 3 times a week, and I want to see you at this time. And there, that just was not even an option. I was like, I'm sorry, but that's my 1 hour that I'm getting to breathe. I can't tutor you during that time. And now I still have a limited amount of time, but I have a lot more flexibility in my time. And as I told you before we started recording, even just having daytime flexibility, I had a student today who had some adversity with going to school. He's been having a lot of social anxiety, and I was supposed to see him later at night. And mom was concerned that he wouldn't be able to do the tutoring session at night. And she was kind of just like, hey, Nina, could you just see him today? And I said, literally come in. I'm literally here right now. Come on by right now. And it worked out so well. And I made such a great connection with them. At the end of the session, they booked recurring appointments from now until indefinitely. So just having that flexibility is amazing. If I was still working a full-time job during the day, A, I wouldn't have been able to do that. But B, I also wouldn't have even seen that email until logging on later at night. So there, I can't look back now. I am like full steam ahead, straight looking ahead.
Yes. And exactly what you mentioned, to your point, you said that you had families coming to you who wanted that consistent cadence of tutoring sessions that you just physically could not accommodate because of your other work conflict or really just having time for yourself. And so I remember in our conversation, when you were like, I'm turning away clients and this is ridiculous. I'm saying no to money. Why am I doing this? So it's like just kind of knowing that you had that potential to do so much more and you have done so much more with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember that too. I remember just thinking like, I'm saying no, yes to clients, but to money. Like this, I'm seeing the business opportunity here. And I, again, I'm so lucky that I have my husband who is very, you know, he said to me, set yourself a goal. Let's say you see 4 clients a day, 6 days a week. How much money would you make? What would the revenue look like? If you're able to do that, how could you grow from there? And so I've had a lot of, you know, pillow talk, for lack of a better term, with him late at night about this and just saying, okay, well, I did it. Now what should I do? And he says, okay, well, now add on a 5th client per day. Tell me when you've done that. Okay, now add on a 2nd tutor on every Tuesday and Thursday, and add on a 3rd tutor on Wednesdays, and add on a 4th tutor on Mondays, and just keep going. And I don't even know how I get here sometimes. Like sometimes I feel like I'm on a treadmill and I'm just trying to keep up with the business aspect of it. But this is just such a great opportunity. I could not have continued to say no to people. And that's just not in my nature either.
Right. And so another question that I have for you, just thinking about this, did you find it difficult starting a business coming from a non-business background? Or did you feel like you were kind of good to get your footing on things and kind of roll right in with it?
I love this question. Somebody recently called me a businesswoman, and it actually borderline infuriated me because I was like, I'm a teacher. I'm a tutor.
Yep. And an educator.
And I'm an educator. Don't call me a businesswoman. And I'm like, wait, I guess I am.
You are a businesswoman.
I guess I am. Here I am. It is, it's painstaking. Going through my accounting, my books, mm-hmm. I'm so lucky that I have so many people around me that have either A, offered their services for free as just out of the kindness of their own hearts. I'm so lucky that I've had my dad and my husband's dad retire in 1 year. So when I needed bookshelves put together and desks put together and all of those types of things put together, I didn't have to hire a contractor for those things. Those things fell into my lap so nicely. I'm so lucky to have 2 best friends that have business degrees who I can ask questions to, even though I always joke around about charging each other. I'm like, hey, don't ask for free advice, people. But I really am just so surrounded by people. One of my really good friends who tutors here is also a communications major. So he helps me a lot with how I'm writing things. My older brother is a professor and he also edits. He does thesis editing and paper editing. So I will send things his way for him to edit. Usually I just have to buy him dinner in exchange. So there's, I have so many people around me. And every day I face something new that I just don't know what to do. And so a good example of this is something that you've been hearing about for way too long. And I'm so sorry, but my scheduling software is not keeping up with the demands of my business. And it's gotten so bad. You gave me a workaround, which was so great. And now I can't keep up with that anymore because it's almost every other appointment I'm having to do the workaround. So
yeah,
what I ended up doing was just kind of reaching out to my network of people and saying, hey, hello, does anybody do IT consulting? And I found someone that does IT consulting for hardware. And I kind of convinced them with my charm of, I'm just a teacher, please help me. And he's going to help me with IT consulting for software to help me with my scheduling. So really just the network of people around me. I mean, I every day I'm asking for help and I'm asking questions, but I think that it always complements my business model nicely. I'm a teacher and I'm an educator and I'm always learning. I can keep learning. I don't know everything. Nobody knows everything. And if, you know, a tutoring center's mantra is that I'm always still learning, then that's great. Yeah. As soon as students come in for their first tour, they're usually pretty nervous and they're usually like a little apprehensive about the whole situation. And so I always make light and I say, hey, this is my desk. This is where I try to keep it together. Don't look at the stack of files. I don't know what I'm doing. And it always lightens the mood. And parents always laugh. And I kind of revert back to teaching, easy. I got that. I can do that. Ask me any fraction, decimal, I can do that. That's great. The business side of it, I'm still learning. And so I found that in my business practice, I get a lot of grace from my clients because they know and they value that I would rather spend more time teaching and tutoring with their student than making sure that the software runs perfectly every single time. Right. Or that the email, the automated text message is perfect every single time. They don't care about that. They don't want to have to press zero to talk to a person. They don't want to have to go through robots to get an appointment. They just want to say, hey, can you tutor my kid? And I say, yep, I can.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you mentioned asking questions and letting people know when you need help, because I think as a business owner, it can be really hard to wave the white flag. And because people worry it's a sign of weakness. It's obviously far from a sign of weakness, but people worry that when they need to ask help or when they can't do something completely on their own, they get very discouraged. And so it can almost be like an ego thing, I guess, but I think it's powerful that you lean on the people around you and kind of know the whole concept of surrounding yourself with people who are smarter than you and being able to really leverage their expertise and their zone of genius to help you. And now look what it's done by being able to lean on those people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a lot of friends, going back to our earlier conversation, I have a lot of tenured professionals and I'll ask them questions all the time. Of course, my expertise is middle school mathematics, but if I have a student that has a reading question, I have a great network of people where I can say, hey, what book would you suggest for this student? So it kind of goes both ways. And I'm not sure if it's a personality trait of mine, but I've never been afraid to wave the white flag. I need help. It's no problem. I feel like I have a little bit of nervousness around my business. What happens if I lose clients? What happens next year if I don't have any summer clients? Those questions are always going through my head, but I'm never worried about it. And I'm waiting for that time where I'm like, okay, well, I do need to worry about this, but I'm pretty cool and collected when it comes to the logistics side of my business, because I just have the confidence in myself with the teaching part.
Yeah, I love that. And I imagine some parents might ask you this, and I know what your response will be, but parents might ask you, if you're out of the classroom, how do you keep up with all the changes that are happening in curriculum and new learning techniques and supporting your students. And so could you share how you just stay on top of everything and how you're able to manage that?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you said that you know my answer because you don't know my answer because I was going to tell you this next weekend or the next time that I saw you. But there's a few ways that I do this. I was recently listening to a podcast, and it was an educator who tutored after school, and he suggested to join as many Facebook and online communities as you could and stay active in those. So I actually joined all of the PTOs and all of the parent-teacher organizations and all of the school board and everything that I could possibly find for every town surrounding me and the town that I live in. So I'm constantly up to date. I attend school committee meetings. I'm in constant contact with local officials, principals, students. I also am in homeschooling association groups, so I'm actively participating in those. And then the big answer that I have, which is drum roll, I was going to tell you this next weekend, but I have an interview tomorrow at a school for a per diem substitute teaching. And
Cool.
so the school that I chose is not a, I'm not going to say anything yet because I haven't solidified it yet, but they just need a teacher every once in a while, once or twice every other week. And I have noticed that I am missing a little bit of that classroom interaction. And it's so funny because it pops up with the lingo. Like these kids say things to me and I'm like, what are you saying? They're like, sup, BFR. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I knew all of this stuff when I was in the classroom. Now I don't know what you're talking about. But so those are kind of like the logistic ways that I keep in the classroom. The less serious ways are, I'm always keeping an open mind. So even just yesterday, I had a student. She's very smart. She's very academically gifted, especially in mathematics. And she did a math problem a way that I'd never seen it done before. And I've been sixth grade math. This is me. This is my time to shine. And so I said, hey, do you mind if I take a picture of this? I took a picture. I wrote it down. I rewrote the problem three different ways out. I Googled it. I found a YouTube video on it. And I was like, oh, okay, this is a new way. So immediately I made a worksheet on it and added it to my repertoire. So I'm learning from my students, which I
Oh, I
know
love that.
sounds cliche, but I am learning from the students that I have here. And with the sheer volume of students that I have here, I feel pretty up to date.
Yeah. And I mean, like you mentioned, just being in the community, so involved in everything that you do, it really helps. And I love that of being able to kind of still stay in the field. And that will also help you too, where if students have you as a substitute teacher, they come home and they talk about a Mrs. Mendoza to their parents. Now it might click like, oh, she has a tutoring business outside of this. And I think it's going to be, from the marketer in me, a great lead generation tool to potentially get seen in front of more families.
Yeah, absolutely. And even when I was in Fall River Public Schools, I loved it, but I just saw one demographic of kids all the time. At 2+2, I'm having kids from all of the surrounding towns that I listed out in the beginning of the podcast, plus kids from even further away. And I have kids ranging from kindergarten to ninth grade. So I'm just being exposed to so much curriculum, so much homework style, so many styles of homework, just so much. I'm just seeing so much every day. So I actually feel more in tune than I did when I was in the classroom sometimes.
Yeah, from the diversity, just having so
Yeah.
many different experiences, which I think is great. And so, one thing we've alluded to a lot during this episode is the fact that you now have a tutoring center. It used to be that you would see your clients either at their homes or at public libraries. And so, could you talk more about how you knew it was time to open your own physical location and have like a centralized space? And what was that process like of just finding the space and getting it up and running?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are two key components of needing a space. The first one was logistically, I was not able to carry the amount of materials that I needed to successfully hold a tutoring session. So I was carrying around a mini whiteboard, 15 pencils, 10 folders, boxes of multiplication cards, boxes of fidgets. I literally could not carry it anymore. I had a Mary Poppins bag that kids would be like, oh my gosh, how do you have so much stuff in there? So logistics wise, I did not have the materials to successfully tutor. And I towards the end, I was constantly saying, oh my gosh, I wish I had that worksheet on me, or oh, I wish I had my computer on me. I wish there was a printer right here so I could print this out for you, or I wish I had that, you know, manipulative for math that I could give you. So that was the first kind of inkling that I needed to readjust my structure. The second one was pretty simple. It was money. I was losing money. I was driving from location to location, and instead of appointments being back to back, I needed to schedule a 15 to 20 to 30 minute buffer time in between appointments. And I was losing money. Not only was I paying for the gas to get from location to location, but if my buffer time was too long, then I would end up sitting in a parking lot for too long, way too long. I spent sitting in parking lots. And if my buffer time was not enough, I was late to appointments, which lost me money and clients. And I was not happy with my quality of service. So once I kind of decided that that was not going to work for me anymore, and this was at the same time where I was deciding if I should pursue tutoring full time or not, I found the Taunton Rent Rebate Program, which I ended up learning that my godmother, who was the director of Council of Aging, knows the entire department, and I should have just started with that lead in the first place, but that's okay. I made a name for myself, and I went in kind of blind and just said, hey, I'm Nina. I need some help here. The person that helped me the most in the Office of Economic Development was Tori Carter. She works for the city of Taunton. Now we're like besties. I love her. She helps me out so much. So that office sent me a few different locations. I viewed, let me see, 1, 2, 3. I viewed about 5 locations. Mm-hmm. When I got to this final location in the DeMello Professional Building, I just knew it. This was the spot. It made perfect sense. I had a spot for my desk. I had a spot for 2 tutoring rooms. I have a full closet, which also could be another tutoring space. There's a waiting area. There was just so much that went into that decision-making process. And what really set this location apart was that there was parking in the front and the back. Mm-hmm. And I work with a diverse population of students, and I needed ADA accessibility. I have a few students that are in motorized and non-motorized wheelchairs, and that also have different types of learning differences where being in a loud, noisy building would not work for them. And this building that I'm in, the DeMello Professional Building, was the first building in Taunton to be ADA accessible.
Oh, that's amazing.
So once I was given that information, done deal. I was like, Sold. This is great. Sign me up. Can I move in tomorrow? So that's how I ended up solidifying this, and the Office of Economic Development and the Downtown Foundation really helped me kind of cross those T's and dot those I's and get everything and all the paperwork settled to be here.
And it helps, like you said, it helps logistically with the fact that you're not driving all over the place. You can have all of your stuff, and being in your tutoring center 6 days ago as of this recording, you have so much stuff. So I can only imagine how you were shoving it into your car to get everywhere.
I don't know how I was doing it. And my husband and I have like a home office, and you know, he mostly relaxes in there and plays video games on his computer. But my side of the office was such a disaster. He was so happy when it was moving day and I got to take all of my stacks and boxes of books and my desk and everything out. He was like so ecstatic. And I made a little private reading nook in my house now. So now yes. I kind of have like my own little home spot.
Yes. And having that work life separation, which is huge. And I can also imagine it's probably really helpful for your clients as well, because letting someone into your home is vulnerable. And I imagine that you probably did have some clients who were like, oh my gosh, we have to clean the entire house right before she comes and make sure it's spotless, because people worry about stuff like that. And even if they don't necessarily have to worry about it, it probably kind of takes that mental load off them to know that they can go to another location and don't have to worry about that aspect or emotional aspect that might come with it.
Yeah, absolutely. The quality of the service that I'm providing has completely just leveled up. Like, this is just so much better. And for a while I was like, is this just in my head? Am I just loving this? But I've started hearing from clients, from students themselves, this is great. I love this. I know that when I talk about students, I always try to reach the individual person's heartstrings, because everybody was a student. Mm-hmm. Do you remember how exciting it was to leave your house when you were like 9, 10 years old and you had like soccer practice? You got to leave your house. That's like the most exciting thing in the world. Like you're leaving your house and you're going somewhere, or on those long summer days where you literally had nothing to do except for play outside all day.
Right.
If you had something scheduled, it was literally the best thing in the world. Like you get to go somewhere and then it spirals. Now we get ice cream after. Now we get a hot dog after. Like it's just so exciting for the kids. They love it. But there's also that huge comfort level of parents not having to clean their homes and worry about me coming in, which I always assured them it's no big deal at all.
Yeah.
And public libraries were great, but there was always a chance that there was some type of distraction there, which I couldn't control.
Exactly.
The only thing that I miss from being on the road is people's dogs. I loved going to people's houses. They had the cutest dogs. Oh my gosh, that was the best part. So I miss the tutoring dogs. I have a whole collection of photos of all my tutoring dogs that I would see, and they would sit and listen to the tutoring sessions. But
That's
that's
cute.
literally the only part that I miss about
Yeah.
being a traveling tutor.
And now being in the space for 2-ish months now, you've been able to really grow in it, which includes being able to hire additional tutors. And so let's hear more about what that process was like of not only, I guess a few things here, not only knowing that you needed to hire new tutors, and then also being able to, I guess, onboard is the right word, but onboard them to make sure that they met your standards that you have for your clients.
Yeah, absolutely. This is still something that I'm learning. So if we're talking about a business owner white flag, I'm still figuring it out. Thankfully, I have a large network of teaching connections. So I did not have to hire or onboard anybody that I did not already personally know. So people that I've invited to tutor here with me, I've known them for an extended period of time. So I have a few tutors that are currently in the classroom right now, and then I have one tutor that's in school right now. And so I've known those people. Now, what I did strategically was I would schedule their first tutoring session to be at a time where I did not have a client. So I would observe from a distance as to not intrude on their practice, because as a teacher, you know what it's like to feel watched, and I did not want that for those tutors. So I just left the doors open, I let them tutor, and there were times in their tutoring where I was like, oh my gosh, they explained it better than I did. And that goes back to your point of hiring people on their zone of expertise. That's great. If you have a strategy that I've never heard and it just worked for that student, that's perfect. So I have a few different tutors that I'm working with. I'm working on onboarding one more right now. She's currently a teacher in Taunton Public Schools, and so we're just kind of working on her schedule. But my decision that ultimately led me to bring more tutors on was that I was maxed out. I'm fully booked. So every day after school, as soon as that school bell rings until it gets about dark outside, I don't like to take children after 7:30-ish. Adult learners is kind of a different thing, but children after 7:30, they're in their witching hour, they're hungry, they're tired, they're not in a mindset for tutoring. So I
Yeah,
made that harsh
that
deadline
makes
cut
sense.
off last month of just deciding we're not going past this time anymore. So when school gets out to about 7:30, that's only a few hours. That's really not that much time of tutoring. So I was fully booked up, and I was so lucky and so grateful to the community that I booked up that quickly. And so I realized that I had kind of reached my ceiling, and I didn't want to reach my ceiling. I have an extra room. Let's bring in another teacher and tutor as many kids as I can. So that's kind of what ultimately led me to bringing in more tutors.
Absolutely. And it goes back to that same problem you had when you were still working for the Y, was hitting that ceiling. You couldn't take on more clients. And so now you're facing it in this aspect, but now being a full-time business owner. And so I think it's great that you've been able to bring in those professionals who can now allow you to double, triple, quadruple the amount of clients that you serve each week.
Right, absolutely. It's been huge, and I really appreciate those teachers and tutors that are being patient with me as I figure out scheduling and figuring out payment and figuring out all the taxes that goes behind everything. So I appreciate them.
Definitely. And one recurring theme of this episode has been the topic of asking for help and learning from others. And so I know you've kind of touched upon this a little bit, but you're very resourceful and have leaned on a lot of organizations around you for support between Chambers of Commerce and the Economic Development Office for the Rent Rebate Program. But could you talk more about how you perhaps found those organizations to get support from and any advice you'd have for business owners for being able to make those connections as well?
Yeah, absolutely. When I started really referring to myself as a business owner, so many people told me, get out there and network and talk about yourself. One of the first things that I did was I went to my dad's best friend who owns Luca B Signs, which is an apparel and sign business in Taunton. And I said, I need sweatshirts, I need t-shirts, anything with my name on it, business cards, everything. And so he gave me a ton of stuff. I would just wear that everywhere, grocery shopping, out to different events, to school committee meetings, and just kind of getting my name as a familiar idea in people's heads. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest advice I can give is to just be confident, talk to as many people as you possibly can. I am very blessed that I'm very extroverted. I will literally talk to anybody about anything, but always find a way for your business to benefit somebody. For example, if I'm talking to you, Ashley, and you don't have any school-age children, but you know somebody that has school-age mm-hmm. children, take my business card, follow me on Facebook. Please share whatever I post to that family that you might know, and that would be a great yep. referral for me. I also like to kind of exchange information as needed. So there was a part of my application process where I really needed somebody to just revise an application that I was doing. And I didn't want to bug anybody in my immediate close circle for that. And so I had found this gentleman who was very well educated through a networking event. And I said, hey, review this paper for me and I'll help your kid with math homework. And so we made the quick exchange of services and it worked out really well for me. So I found the Taunton Area Chamber of Commerce because every single person I networked with said, you need to join a chamber. You need to join a chamber. Yes. And I said, okay, whatever. I guess I'll pay the money and like not use it. And it's just, that is far from the truth. I utilize absolutely everything that they send my way. I've made so many connections. I go to so many events. I've just met so many people and just chatting about my business and what I do has really put my name out there and helped me become really successful.
Absolutely. And so I feel like that membership has probably paid itself more than twice over now.
Oh, yes.
Just from those connections and people you've met and clients that have come from it and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And even a lot of the people in the chamber, if they don't have kids, everybody knows a kid somewhere. And so it's always just nice to get it out there. Yeah, it's been really good meeting a lot of people.
Without a doubt. And so being in the Taunton area, I am curious to hear what your answer is for this, because I want to know what you have to say to it. But what would you say your favorite local businesses are to support?
Yes. My favorite one is literally right next door, Sheepdog Athletics, Tanya and Dan Miller. They are absolutely incredible. They got me in shape for my wedding, but they also last weekend helped host an honoring the military event, which is right behind my building. I went out there, I got my face painted, I sent all my kids there after they had their tutoring sessions. They're just an awesome business in this community. They are just so amazing. I also like all of my neighbors that are directly around me. So I have a lot of parents that come in and they'll drop their kid off and they'll go next door and they'll get a coffee or a breakfast sandwich from Maria's, which is literally two doors down. There's a few different types of nail salons on Main Street in Taunton. All of them I've heard great things about from my parents, especially when they come back with their nails and their toes done. Right next to me is St. Pierre's Shoes. It is so cute when a little kid comes in for their tutoring with, they have a bag of shoes. I'm like, oh my gosh, they went shoe shopping. It's
cute.
so sweet. And then the businesses that I regularly patronize are Glamour Nails in Rainham right over the mm-hmm. border. She just did my little, I don't know if YouTube will be able to see this, but she just did my
yes.
little 2+2 right. on my nail, which is so, so sweet. Luca B Signs, which does all of my apparel and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Mr. and Mrs. DeMello at Joseph and Associates think that's what he's called. Joseph DeMello and Associates Law, right down the hallway from me. He's my landlord, but he's also just a wealth of information and he's just so sweet. Let's
Yeah.
see. Well, so I literally anybody that's a small business, I love them. I try to do small business as frequently as I can. Oh my God, Grilla. I
Oh
love
yeah,
Grilla.
Grilla. Well, I was
I
gonna
want Grilla
say,
right now.
this is why I was curious what you're gonna say for our listeners. El Mariachi in Taunton is probably the crux of our friendship. So it's great
You're
Mexican
making my
food.
mouth water. I need El Mariachi. Literally now, I was just at Berkeley Beer Company on Friday.
They're another favorite.
What did I have? I had what was it called? They don't have like hard liquor, but they have something they call it like a maltita. I cannot remember, but it's basically like their version of like fermented alcohol. I don't know what to call it, but
Interesting.
they
Yeah.
have like different types of ciders and different types of margaritas that they make with it. I think my husband had a margarita and then I had it was like a I don't know, like a tiki rum punch thing. They're
Very
so
cool.
good. Oh my gosh. And their tater tots. Oh my gosh, so
All good stuff. Nina, I have really loved recording this episode with you and having the opportunity for you to share everything that you've done with 2+2. And now I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online, if they'd like to connect with you further, if they have children who could use your services, if they know children who could use your services, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on Facebook as 2+2 tutoring. It's the number 2 and then the word plus, PLUS, and then the number 2. So 2+2 tutoring. My Facebook is a really good spot to see all the live updates of what's going on. You can also message me there. You can access my email there, which is 2+2taunton@gmail.com. You can send me a text message or call me 774-955-0025. And I also have a Calendly link if you just want to have a quick chat, get started phone call, or chat about what I do for my business. I can gladly send you that link, or you can access it on my Facebook or in my email too.
And I will link to all of those places in the show notes for our listeners. Once this episode is live, so they can click through and connect with you and all the places there. But Nina, thank you so much again for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.